feel that? Can you feel that thing that's oozing out your doggone hands? That thing is beating your doggone chest right now. Can you feel that? Can you feel what's about to happen on this field, man? Can you feel what we about to get into, dog? Can you feel that? And it ain't gonna be getting to ourselves. We're gonna dig into somebody else, man. So wherever you in that doggone game, whatever you gotta do to get whatever that's in you out, come out and play your behind off, let me get that.
Wow. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Chris Langel from the BroadStreetJournal.com. Thanks for checking in with us today. If you weren't ready for NFL football, maybe the lockout had you down a little bit. You were a little disinterested. The Phillies have been doing really well lately. You've been watching their games, and you sort of forgot a little bit about NFL. You forgot about football a little bit. Well, it's back, baby. And, you know, after listening to Brian Dawkins and that little intro there, man, it just makes you just want to kill somebody. And I know the Phillies are doing well right now. They're probably the best team in baseball, but this is going to be strictly Eagle talk right here. So grab a bag of chips, grab a beer, chill out, turn your headphones up, and let's get right into this thing. Look, the defense, I want to talk about defense. The defense was tied for 31st in the NFL last year in passing touchdowns allowed. That's terrible. Almost dead last. And they were 25th in total touchdowns allowed, 21st in points allowed, 25th in interceptions, 15th in rushing defense. They were actually 10th in sacks. They had 39 sacks in the regular season, which is about 2.5 sacks per game. Not bad. Could definitely be better. They did finish 12th in total defense when it was all said and done. I know it didn't look like that or feel like that by the end of the year when they were just giving up touchdowns and points. But they were better than 20 other defenses in the league, which is really quite amazing when you look at the sort of how the end of the season unfolded. And the offensive line really wasn't protecting Michael Vick as good as it probably was earlier in the year. Had some injuries up there, some backup players up there, but it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, because look, on paper, the Eagles might have one of the better defenses in the league. I mean, we already had Trent Cole, who's a premier pass rusher. The guy's double, triple teamed every game. He still manages to average about 9.5-10 sacks a year, which is amazing. Watch a game closely. He's getting double, triple teamed. He's getting chip blocked by running backs. Tight ends are going in motion to his side. The guy's a freak, and now with Jason Babin coming back, hopefully he can play up to his Tennessee Titans standards, and give us some pressure off the edge. Because let's face it, I mean, Trent Cole is a beast, but he's only going to be as good as the other defensive linemen let him be. When you're double triple teamed, you know, every play, and particularly on passing downs and passing situations, it's tough to really make an impact on the defensive line. So with Cullen Jenkins, Jason Babin, I like Anthony Hargrove. He adds a little bit of beef up there. And so Mike Patterson coming back now, he's back at practice after his unfortunate situation, and he had a seizure up in training camp. So I think that defensive line is going to be at least twice as good as they were last year, and that's going to be huge, because when you have good play up front, your front four down linemen, you can do a lot of different things. It takes a lot of pressure off the linebackers, a lot of pressure off the secondary, and you can really do some different things on defense. You can move guys around, you can come up with different blitz packages when you know you can get pressure with your front four. That's huge. I mean, you know, you look at the Eagles over the last decade or so under Andy Reid and Jim Johnson's defense. You know, we've always been in the top 10 in sacks, And a lot of the pressure is coming from the secondary. Watch a game closely. It's not defensive linemen who are getting sacks. It's it's a linebacker coming up the A gap, or it's a safety coming up to the line, or a corner coming up to the line. And that's all well and good, but you know, when you can get pressure with a tackle or an end, and you can do that consistently, that's just huge. I can't say enough about that. I think the defensive line over the last decade has been sort of a core deficiency of that defense. And I think, you know, they've tried several times to get guys in there. You know, they went out and got Javon Kearse. They moved up in the draft to get Broderick Bunkley. You know, you had Corey Simon in there when he was young and in his prime. He was a dominant player. You got Trent Cole. You know, you tried with Jerome McDougal. You tried with Victor Abiamiri. You know, they've struck out many times on that defensive line, and I'm glad to see them sort of put all the chips in the middle of the table and beef that thing up. Because the reality is, look, in the NFL, yes, the NFL is built on speed, but when you have, you know, 300-pound, 6-foot-tall, 300-pound defensive tackles like they did with Broderick Bunkley, the Mike Pattersons, the Trevor Laws, you know, that's just not big enough. And when you're going up against a 320, 330-pound offensive lineman, you know, over the course of a 60-minute game, over the course of a 16-game season, yeah, you might beat a guy here and there, but in the long run, when you're undersized like that, it doesn't bode well for that defensive line. So I'm glad to see them get a bigger guy in Cullen Jenkins. Trent Cole's already a beast. Anthony Hargrove has got some weight. So I think really that you need to have some big guys in the middle in particular so that you can push the pocket on passing downs, and you can shed blockers on running downs. So definitely got to give them props for that. Big additions there. And, you know, let's not forget about the secondary. Now, you went out and got Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie in the trade for Kevin Cobb. That's a big deal in my opinion, because we all know that if they get the right deal for Asante Samuel, they would probably do that, because not because of his play or anything like that, but if you look at his contract, his cap number, I believe next year and the year after, I think are both over $10 million. And he's already 30. There's no way they're going to pay a 31, 32-year-old over $10 million a year. That's just not in their DNA. That's not what they do. That's been proven time and time again. So I can't, even if Asante's on the roster this year, I can't imagine he'll be here next year. So getting DRC was huge, and obviously getting Nnamdi Asamoah. I mean, this guy is probably, I know you could talk about Darrell Revis, but they're sort of different players. Nnamdi is really a press corner, and he tries to disrupt you at the line of scrimmage, and he's a good cover corner. He's one of the best cover corners in the league, if not the best. So getting him, I mean, we don't even have to say that was huge. We all know that was huge. This guy's a game changer. He can take your number one wide receiver out of the game pretty much for the whole game, and that's huge. When you can have a player that can do that, that changes the offense's game plan. And look, when you have Asante on the other side and you have DRC in the slot, I mean, what team is really going to be able to consistently pass? I mean, you might pick up some yardage. I can't imagine a team that's going to be able to score. And look, you got a rookie safety in Jaquan Jarrett, who they're pretty high on. They picked him in the second round. You have Nate Allen, who once he's 100%, man, he's going to be solid. He's a smart kid. He played well before he got injured last year. He's only going to get better with time. And you got Kurt Coleman, who, look, he's probably a little bit small, but man, he's not afraid to stick his nose in there. This guy comes up. He plays the run well. He did get burnt in passing downs and in passing situations a few times, but he was a rookie. He's going to get better with time. You have to think that. So I don't know. Some people were sort of concerned with their safeties. I'm really not. I think they're going to be okay back there. Obviously everybody's concern sort of is the linebacker situation. Now you got Casey Matthews, who, by all accounts, this kid's going to be the starting middle linebacker. And I got a chance to go to training camp last Monday and see him play. And this kid is smart. And that's really what I think has given him the advantage in training camp thus far. And not necessarily the biggest guy in the world. In fact, he came into camp about 10 pounds heavier than he was at the combine because, you know, he knew he had to put on some weight. He was about 230 pounds at Oregon. So he's playing right around 240, I think, maybe a little bit more than that, which is still, you can make the argument that that's still probably a little bit too small to be a middle linebacker. But the reality is if you can get pressure with your down lineman, you can have littler, smaller linebackers, and that's something that they usually have had anyway under Andy Reid, Jim Johnson, etc. So they never really had big linebackers. Jeremiah Trotter, Lavon Kirkland were probably the biggest linebackers they've ever had back there. The rest of these guys have been, you know, 230, 235, 240. So nothing new there. But Casey Matthews, I think, definitely going to be a player, has the Matthews pedigree. You know, this kid is smart. He can diagnose a play early. He gets in the hole. And, you know, I think he's going to be huge. I mean, no one, I don't think anyone expected them to let Stuart Bradley go. I think a lot of people thought he was going to be re-signed because he's a young player. Yeah, he had some injuries and whatnot, but he was decent. But, you know, when you think about it over the course of his time in Philadelphia, man, he really wasn't really a game changer on defense, and that's what they need. And they've done that on the line, and they've done that in the secondary. But I think they do need a linebacker who can be a game changer, and hopefully Casey Matthews can be that guy because you know, they haven't really had, that I can remember, any game changing linebackers besides maybe Jeremiah Trotter. You know, not in the last, you know, 7, 8, 9 years anyway. I know the back in the day they had some good linebackers, but you know, recently it's sort of been hit or miss. You know, you had the Mark Simonals, you had the Ernie Sims, the Dahani Joneses of the world, the Will Witherspoons. You had some kind of cut and paste guys in there over the last several years. And so it'll be interesting to see how Casey Matthews can adjust from the college game. Again, by all accounts, this kid is a gamer. He can play, and again, going to get better with time. So if he's already sort of playing at this level now, imagine what he's going to be like halfway through the season once he has a couple of games under his belt. I think he's really going to be a game changer. And you got Jamar Chaney. Kid's a seventh round draft pick, comes in at the end of the year and plays phenomenal. Got to believe he's going to be the strong side linebacker. I don't really think there's anybody else on the roster who can probably cover a tight end, and that's obviously been a problem for this defense. You know, we have Jason Witten, we have you know, Chris Cooley, we had Kevin Boss, he just got dealt or just signed with the Raiders. So we have some decent tight ends, really good tight ends actually in our division. And you know, we all know that they haven't been able to cover a tight end for a while, so hopefully Jamar Chaney can be that guy. I don't think we need him to be a dominant player. It wouldn't hurt, obviously, but I don't think he's a sort of a top-tier linebacker necessarily, but if he can just cover the tight end consistently, I think we'll be okay. And as far as the weak side linebacker goes, you know, I know they've been playing Mosey Fokou. Not sure if he's really the guy or not. We have Akeem Jordan, who at times played very well, but at other times it seemed like he just couldn't get anything done. He ended up playing, I think, special teams towards the end of the year. So that's going to be sort of maybe the weak spot on the defense, I think, is weak side linebacker. I hope they figure something out there. But as of this moment right now, that's sort of the weak link on the defense. But hopefully they can figure something out because it seems like they got the defensive line set for the season. You're going to have Trent Cole, you're going to have Cullen Jenkins, Mike Patterson, and Babin, and you're going to rotate some other guys in there, which I'm really not that big of a fan of, the whole rotation thing. I think it's hard to get a guy in rhythm when he's only playing, you know, one or two plays at a time. I know it's, you know, it keeps you fresher or whatever, but let the guy play 5-6 plays in a row, get a little rhythm in there, and then take him out. You know, don't bring him in for one play or in a situation and take him out. that was the whole reason you let Jason Babin walk. The guy played, what, five or six snaps a game. You didn't know he was any good because he was never on the field. So, you know, hopefully they can put it together, because on paper, obviously, they have some talent, but we all know you have to gel. You have to get some experience together before you can really be good. But, I mean, if they finished 12th in total defense last year, you have to imagine that they're going to be a top 10 defense, you know, given any barring any major injuries. But it's going to be exciting, man, because, look, we all know the offense is going to score some points. We have Michael Vick. We have DeSean Jackson. We have Shady McCoy. We have Brent Celek. Hopefully when Macklin gets healthy, you know, they just signed Steve Smith. I mean, I don't think we're going to have a problem scoring points on offense. I think the Eagles finished third in points scored last year. So they're going to be in the top five. You got to imagine they're going to be in the top five in points scored. So not too worried about that. But the defense is going to be, you know, you look at the Super Bowl teams that have won Super Bowls over the last several years, and you know, the common denominator is defense. You know, they all have good defenses, and you know, sure, you've had the Colts, you've had the Saints that have won Super Bowls that have had, you know, like 20th ranked defense, but you know, the reality is most Super Bowl championship winning teams have top five, top 10 defenses. And so really, really hoping that they can do something. Now, obviously, Juan Castillo, rookie defensive coordinator, but you got Jim Washburn as a defensive line coach, and I think that's going to be huge. I know they have Mike Caldwell, a linebackers coach, and Michael Zordich as secondary coach. So sort of a whole new rookie class of coaching staff, with the exception of Jim Washburn. But I think as long as you have him in there, you'll be okay, because this guy is an old school coach. You know, I went to training camp, and this guy just buries you. I mean, it's tough love. You know, he gets in your face, but when you make a good play, he's right there to let you know that. So definitely think that was, you can make the argument that getting Jim Washburn was the best move they made, you know, all off season. I mean, he is a difference maker along that defensive line. So hopefully they can do some things up there. They can get some turnovers and, score some points on defense. Cause, you know, as good as Michael Vick is and as good as the offense is, you know, you, and this has been sort of the philosophy ever since Andy Reid came here, was, look, you know, the offense is going to score a quick touchdown or 10 points or, you know, two quick touchdowns, and now it's going to force the other team's offense to throw, which then they can pin their ears back, blitz the quarterback, and it feeds right into their game plan. Well, that's all well and good, and that has worked for them historically, but that puts a lot of pressure on your offense when, you know, 90% of your game plan is your offense getting out to a quick lead. You know, I don't know if that's necessarily the best way to go about doing it every single game, every single year. You know, I think it's a more balanced approach. Look at some of the other teams that can score points. You know, the Colts, the Saints, the Packers, the Patriots, the Steelers. You know, they still have good defenses that can single-handedly win games just on the defensive side of the ball. So you can't always just rely on offense to get it done. And I'm glad to see that they finally put the chips in the middle of the table, went out and got some guys. I think they were playing money ball with their defense for the last, couple years, trying to win with sort of patchwork. Again, they had some injuries that they weren't planning for, I don't think, but, you know, you can't always win just on system alone, just on coaching alone. I mean, you have to have talent. You have to have players that are going to go out there and be difference makers on defense. So really excited to see how this all plays out. I know I've said that probably about 50 times, but when I went to training camp, just seeing these guys on the field together, man, just gives you goosebumps. You know, they were so fast, and really excited to see how it all plays out. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. You know, drop me some comments or whatever. And you know, tell me what you think. I mean, you know, this team is set really, again, barring any major injuries, this team is set for a deep playoff run. And, you know, hopefully they can just put it together on the field, because, again, it's just on paper right now. Games are won on the field, not on paper. We all know that. So anxious to hear what your thoughts are on that. Drop me a comment. And thanks for taking the time to listen to this. You know, we put a lot of time and effort into this. So I hope you enjoyed it, and keep posted for the next one. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.